Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to Waves of Glory on Blog Talk Radio. This is Apostle EJ, and I am your Marketplace Apostle, and God has put me in your midst to help bring you to your wealthy place. This morning, I am so excited because this is my first opportunity to get to talk to you about the book Apprehending the Kingdom. I know some months ago we were sharing on our broadcast about the different revelations that God was giving concerning the kingdom of God, and all the while he was having me to write a book concerning Apprehending the Kingdom of God. And I would like to announce to you today that book is finished, it's completed. It's ready to be used throughout the nation. It is ready to be used in your Bible studies, your women's group, your youth group even. It's ready to be used in your Sunday morning adult Sunday school class or even in your youth Sunday school. This message of the kingdom is so vital to the body of Christ. And I am delighted today that God has used me. Allow me to be a part of what he is doing in bringing this gospel message to the church. Listen, I'm going to take a few moments today and just share how the book got started and why it's so important to me that you share in the revelation of the gospel message of the kingdom of God. Some time ago, God gave me an assignment, and he said, you are going to be used as an end-time financier of the preaching of the gospel message of the kingdom of God. And, of course, I misunderstood what he was saying, just like you probably just misunderstood what I was saying. But this book and this radio broadcast today is dedicated to bringing some clarity to both of us concerning what God was saying when he was speaking to me. Religion, tradition, and false teaching had me so bound that I could not seem to get free. My life as a Christian was drying up, and I was dying on the vine. And listen, at this very same time, I am also a minister of the gospel while I'm dying on the vine. In anguish, I cried out to God to show me what I was doing wrong because I knew that he could not be the problem. It had to be something wrong with me, or so I thought. Then he came to me and whispered to me, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." And what happened next may offend some and surprise many. But I'm telling you, when he said to me, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you," I was already in the depths of despair. You know how it is when you're going through a moment in time, you are under the weight of this world and circumstances are piling on top of you, and somebody quotes you a scripture. I don't know about you, but you just want to punch them in the face because you don't need another rehearsed canned scripture. So when the Spirit of God said to me, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God," I screamed at God. Yes, that is exactly what I did. Out of my frustration, I screamed, "What does that mean?" Because you see, I have been hearing that scripture in my spirit for almost 5 years whenever I would enter into a crisis situation or when my finances were non-existent, not even low. They were just non-existent, where my life seemed to be turned upside down, and I'd fall on my knees and pray. And God would say the same thing every single time. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Well, I was totally frustrated, you see, because in my own estimation, I thought that I was seeking the kingdom. I thought that because I was a minister of the gospel, I knew about the kingdom of God. I thought that because I was teaching Bible lessons and preaching Bible sermons that I understood the kingdom of God. I thought that because I was going to church every time the doors flew open and I was giving in the offering and paying my tithes, I thought that I was seeking the kingdom of God. I thought that because I was praying and fasting that I was seeking the kingdom of God. But let me tell you something. I was not even aware of the kingdom, as many of you may not yet be aware of the kingdom of God. Now, of course, because we are Christians and we hear the terminology, we may appear to believe that we are operating in the kingdom of God or that we are seeking the kingdom of God. But in essence, what we are doing is following the traditions of man, going along with religious rituals, and sometimes even being deceived by false teachings that someone probably was taught in their generation. They passed that teaching on to the next generation, and that generation passed it on to us. And so we are just continually following in religion, tradition, and false teaching. Now, I hope you don't get offended, but I'm talking about me. When I said we, I'm talking mostly about me, because perhaps you are operating in the kingdom of God. Perhaps you are moving towards the kingdom every single day and advancing the kingdom of God, but I did not have any understanding of the kingdom of God. So, and in my 25 years of ministry and being a Christian, I couldn't see where the kingdom of God was of any effect in my life. That's a scary thought now that I'm looking back on it. It's like 25 years in ministry, 25 years walking as a Christian, and you're telling me that you don't understand the kingdom of God. Well, yeah, that's exactly what I'm telling you. As a spirit-filled, fire-breathing, tongue-talking, hand-clapping, foot-stomping Christian, I was homeless. I was jobless. It seemed that I was unemployable. Nobody would hire me, no matter how many applications I put in. I didn't have a phone of my own, and sometimes it felt like I didn't have a friend in this world. At least that's how it seemed to me. So when God once again said to me, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you," I was angry, and it showed. I screamed. Like I said, what does that mean? I thought I was seeking the kingdom. I know you, with your relationship with God, you probably would never have ventured to shout back at God or stamp your feet or act unseemly in any way. But I am one of his children. I am one of those kids who just is sometimes a little bit over the top. Sometimes I crawl up in God's lap and just rest. And sometimes I have a temper tantrum. I just let God see me as I really am, because guess what? He sees me as I really am. So I don't really put any pretenses on with him. I don't put on any face. I don't put on any mask. I just keep it 100 with God. So when I felt like screaming, that's what I did. And because he loved me so, he continued to work with me and said to me, Revisit the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, for someone who's been preaching for 25 years, you get a little bit, I got a little bit arrogant thinking, okay, I've read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John many times. These are the four Gospels. I know they are the beginning of the New Testament, when actually they're not really the beginning of the New Testament. They are the gap between the old and the new. But anyway, now that's a whole nother lesson. I kind of half-heartedly revisited the Gospels by thinking about what I knew about the Gospels. I didn't take the time to go into the Scripture. I didn't take the time to read, because I felt like I already knew what was in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because those are the words that are written in red, most of what Jesus said in most old versions of the Bible. I don't know about this newfangled editions, but the red letter edition, the things that Jesus said are written in red. So I thought I had those things under my belt, but God kept saying to me, revisit the Gospels. Okay, I am that child who drags her feet and scuffs up her shoes and kicks the dirt and, you know, kind of takes her time getting around to it. I'm going to be obedient, but I'm going to be slow at it. At least that's what I was feeling. Then I heard a sermon by Dr. Miles Monroe, who is one of my very favorite teachers of things like purpose and potential and maximizing who you are and all this other good stuff. And I happened to hear a sermon by him that said, where he said, that he had the same encounter with God, and he heard this word from the Lord. You have been preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, but you haven't been preaching the gospel that Jesus Christ preached. This word hit me like a ton of bricks. God was saying to Dr. Miles Monroe the very same thing that he said to me, which is revisit the gospels. Because you have been preaching about Jesus, you have been getting all kinds of sermonettes and sermon titles out of the book. You've gone into the Old Testament and you preach a title. We like to title our sermons to give them a little more power, but we have not preached the gospel that Jesus Christ preached. And so it dawned on me that perhaps I should go back and revisit the Gospels. However, I procrastinated again. Pray for me, saints, pray for me. I procrastinated in getting to the Gospels because it just didn't seem like there was going to be anything there that I could learn. And once again, I've been doing this for 25 years. So I decided to check out Dr. Miles Monroe on the YouTube so I could hear what did he discover when God told him that he wasn't preaching the gospel that Jesus Christ preached. Mind you that the word gospel means good news. So we've been preaching the good news of Jesus, that Jesus came, that he died, that he was buried in a tomb, and 3 days later he resurrected with all power in his hand. That is the good news of Jesus Christ. But that is not what Jesus preached when he was on the earth. He never preached that to the multitudes. He only told his disciples that he was going to be crucified. In his meetings with them in private, he would speak to them about personal things, intimate things, and one of those was that he was going to have to die, which caused Peter to be in a huff, which he had to rebuke him for. But listen, in any case, this is not a message that he preached to the multitudes. The message that he preached to the multitudes was the message of, you got it, the kingdom of God. And I have never until that time preached a message that said anything about the kingdom of God. Like Dr. Miles Monroe, I preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, but I did not preach the gospel that Jesus Christ preached. Dr. Monroe had since that time, since he began studying and seeking the face of God, created a series of sermons or lessons called Rediscovering the Kingdom. And I took the opportunity to absorb as much of those YouTube videos that I could. And I do encourage you to go to YouTube and find out about Rediscovering the Kingdom by Dr. Miles Monroe. It is an exceptional series of teachings. It is because I took the time to sit with him as he taught that God began to give unto me the revelation knowledge of the kingdom of God. This is a word that I want to say to you today. If the Spirit of the Lord has not revealed to you the kingdom, then you haven't seen it. It doesn't matter how many people preach sermons on the kingdom, how many people have kingdom in the ministry name over their church door. If the Spirit of the Lord has not revealed to you the kingdom, then you haven't seen it. Now, remember Jesus told Peter, he said, upon this rock I will build my church. This was directly after Peter told him, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus' first word to him was, flesh and blood has not revealed, get it, this unto you, but my Father has revealed this unto you. And upon this rock I will build my church, upon the rock of revelation. Because Jesus spoke to the Pharisees and said that the kingdom of God does not come by observation, but rather by revelation. And revelation doesn't come just because somebody's telling you about the kingdom of God. I can tell you all day long about the kingdom of God. Miles Monroe was teaching to me about the kingdom of God, but it didn't have impact until the Holy Spirit took that information and transformed it into revelation, and by so doing, he transformed me into an agent of transformation and caused me to write this book to share with you just how God brought me along day by day as he revealed to me the mystery of the kingdom. Can you imagine how I felt after being a preacher of the gospel for 25 years and I had missed the mystery of the kingdom of God? Once I began to receive revelation knowledge about the kingdom, I want you to know my first reaction was not joy. My first reaction was anger. I was angry because I wanted to know, why didn't somebody tell me in the beginning about the kingdom of God? Why didn't somebody teach me about the kingdom of God? And the truth of the matter is that whenever you study the gospels, you are studying the gospel message of the kingdom of God. But religion has so blinded us that we only see the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the good news about Jesus Christ. We don't see the part about the good news that Jesus preached to the multitudes. We don't take a good solid look at the things that he was saying to the multitudes. And when you go back into the Gospels, I'm going to send you back like God sent me back. Revisit the Gospels. And when you go in, begin to take note of the messages that Jesus preached to the multitudes, not the private conversations that he had with his disciples, but listen to the messages that he preached to the multitudes. Listen to the messages that he preached in the parables and the understanding and the revelation knowledge he was concealing in the parable and revealing to his disciples. It will absolutely blow you out of your religious seat. You will get such a charge as the Spirit of God opens up your eyes of your understanding and gives you revelation in the knowledge of God. Every day, I pored over those videos. Every day, the Spirit of the Lord would manifest to me and give me revelation knowledge in my spirit, man. And the more he revealed to me the kingdom, it was sort of like a side reel playing at the same time that God began to show me books to write and businesses to start. And he just began to show me where my increase, my prosperity, my acceleration, and my multiplication would be. And I was so excited about that. And I'm telling you, every single day, there was not one single day that the Spirit of God did not show up and give me what I needed to make it through the day concerning the kingdom of God. Let me caution you here, or just maybe inform you, that when you begin to hunger and thirst for the kingdom, God will create such a hunger and a thirst in you that nothing else is going to satisfy the longing in you to know more, to be more, to see more, to hear more, and then to do more. You will discover things about the kingdom that nobody told you. Listen, when I wrote this book, I included blank pages within certain parts of the book so that you can write down, as you are going through this book, the revelation knowledge that God is going to give to you. Because, beloved, I know without a shadow of a doubt that I have not received the entire revelation of the kingdom of God. It is just impossible to absorb in one sitting. This book that the Lord has given me has three sections. Section one is apprehending the kingdom. Section number two is comprehending the kingdom. And section number three is demonstrating the kingdom. And neither of these sections are all inclusive. There is no way I could write a book to put down all the things that God has shown me. If I did, you probably wouldn't want to read it because of the thickness of it. I don't know about you, but when a book gets to be long-winded, it tends to get a portion of it read and then the rest put on the shelf for a later date. And so I purposely cut down the size of the book so that you would not feel that it was too much to absorb. So get this book and begin to go and study about a kingdom. Miles Monroe put it this way, that the Bible is about a king, a kingdom, and a royal family. This was after the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, take religion out of your relationship with me. Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you, I grew so much during the writing of this book. For the Spirit of the Lord said to me, take religion out of our relationship. What do you have left? When you are done with three songs and a 30-minute sermon, a scripture reading in the beginning and a benediction at the end, if you just wipe all that away, what do you have left? So I begin to say, okay, Lord, I will remove religion out of our relationship. And I'm telling you, I found so much joy in the presence of the Lord. I found glory in the presence of the Lord. I found revelation, knowledge in the presence of the Lord. I found out about right positioning in the kingdom. There is a place that you are supposed to be. There is a kingdom position that God has given each one of us. I found out that the church is not really a religious organization. It has nothing to do with religion. The church is truly a governmental agency in the earth. It is a governmental agency that is bringing the government, the divine government of God, of the kingdom of God, into the earth realm. Oh, glory to God. How exciting is that? That is nothing to do with religion. I found out that there's such a thing as citizenship in the kingdom. I know we like to join this church, the first church of the brethren, the second church of the missionaries, and all kinds of denominations. We want to join and become members. But you don't become a member of the kingdom of God. Glory to God. You have to be a citizen, and you have to be a born citizen. You can't join in the kingdom of God. You have to come by way of citizenship, and citizenship comes through the cross. Yes, we are not saying anything about dropping the gospel of the cross, because without it, we would not have access to the kingdom of God. But what God wants us to understand is that after the cross, there is a crown, not just a crown for Jesus, but there is a crown of dominion for the citizens of the kingdom who are yet left in the earth that we might occupy till he comes. When you understand that the word in that particular instance means is a military term, which means to take up residence and to exercise authority, military might in that particular region that you have been given or you have taken or conquered to occupy. So when Jesus was saying things like this to his disciples, occupy till I come, it had a military connotation to it, not a religious connotation. When he said to them that, behold, I confer on you a kingdom like my Father conferred a kingdom on me. He's saying God gave me a kingdom. He conferred it on me as I stepped into the earth realm. Now I'm going to breathe on you. You will receive the Holy Ghost, and I'm conferring on you a kingdom too. Lord have mercy. I don't know about you, but that excited me to no end. And then I discovered that abundance is the will of God. There are people around the nation, even throughout the body of Christ, who will fight the prosperity gospel. But gospel means good news. So the prosperity good news is just what Jesus said in John 10:10, that he came to give us life, and that more abundantly. The Bible is not a religious book, my brothers and my sisters. The Bible is a life skills book. God has sent the information that we need in order to maintain kingdom lifestyle in the earth realm, not just monetarily, but surely monetarily is included. So we can have the whole ball of wax. We are to be healthy, for Jesus paid for our help. With his stripes we are healed. We are to be wealthy. The word of God lets us know he was made poor that we might become rich. And I know the religious crowd will want to, you know, shake that up and say, oh, that's talking about spiritual riches. Well, if you take a look at the patriarchs, those that followed after God, every one of them was rich, not only spiritually, but also naturally. And when Peter needed money to pay his taxes, the kingdom principles, strategies, component experience caused him to go down to the place where he fished, which was his occupation by trade, and to receive payment for his taxes out of the mouth of a fish. Lord have mercy, that's a whole sermon right there that we don't have time to talk to you about right now because we are getting near the end of the broadcast. But that is just components of the kingdom. When I begin to discover the different parts of a kingdom and discover that those parts are very much well alive in the kingdom of God, they are parts that we don't even think about or even talk about. We do say that we are ambassadors for Christ, but do we recognize that an ambassador is the highest ranking official of a government which he represents? He goes away from his government and he represents the government from which he has come and becomes an ambassador in a strange land. So when we are saying that we are ambassadors for Christ, we are speaking governmentally, not religiously. And when I discovered that the Bible is not a book about religion, when I discovered that the Bible is a book about a king, a kingdom, and a royal family, it absolutely changed my life. I discovered things about words that we just haphazardly use in the body. We say repent, and we think people need to fall on the altar and confess their sins to us, and then we hover over them, and then we pray a little prayer, and we rub their head with oil, and we go through all of these rituals. But repent simply means this: change your way of thinking. So when John the Baptist came preaching repentance, he was talking to a people who had gone far away from God with their mindset. When Jesus came preaching repentance, he was talking to a people who had gone far away from God in their mindset. This is why the Apostle Paul could say in Romans chapter 12, glory to God, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Something happens, beloved, when we surround ourselves with certain people, we begin automatically to become like those people. And unfortunately today, the Church of the Living God has become engrafted into the world system, the world way of thinking, the world mindset, the world expectation, the world conversation, and we don't even elevate our mind to think that we are citizens of another kingdom, not just a citizen of heaven, but we are citizens of another kingdom. Many of us are waiting until we die to get to heaven, but God is desiring that the people of God would draw heaven right here into the earth. But there is a process, there is a strategy, and that strategy is revealed in this book. God wants you to have a copy of this book. If you can't afford a copy of the book, go to Amazon.com or CreateSpace.com. Kindle, Amazon Kindle, it's on there for much less than it is in a printed version. And then if you still feel that you can't afford the book, shoot me an email and say, Apostle, I really want this book, but I don't have the funds. I promise you I will find a way to get you a copy of this book. I am that excited about the things that God is going to reveal to you. I'm sharing in this book a testimony of an angelic visitation that just rocked me to my core. I share in this book demonic visitations where the enemy has come to try to afflict me with stroke. I share in this book just all kinds of wonderful things that God has done. My own testimonies. And then the one thing that I want you to understand, as well, there's just too many things, but when we think about what Jesus left to us as a power of attorney, that's another legal document. And this is how we operate in kingdom authority, because we have been given, glory to God, supernatural power of attorney. Oh, my God, our time is up here on the broadcast today. You can find us at www.yourmarketplaceapostle.com. That's one of our sites. You can find us at successinlifeti.blogspot.com. Just find us on Facebook, Apprehending the Kingdom, Success in Life, or Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise. We are all over the place. We are there to make sure you get this word that God wants you to operate as a citizen of the kingdom of God. We love you today. We bless you. We want to say, if you want to email us, successinlifeti@gmail.com. That's T as in Tommy, I as in India. successinlifeti@gmail.com. I bless you today with all the revelation knowledge that you can hold for today. Let the glory of the Lord rise upon you. Let visions and dreams be revealed unto you. Let the power of God orchestrate your life today as you seek the kingdom of God and all its righteousness. All these other things will be added unto you. This has been Apostle E.J. Melvin, your Marketplace Apostle, saying you are not here to be average, but you are here to be awesome. I love you.